Well, we just thank you for your Spirit. We thank you that the Spirit teaches us all things and instructs us to abide in Christ. Lord, I pray that as we study tonight, we'll not just see these principles as disjointed faith principles, but these will be keys and insights on how to have an active, vital, vibrant relationship with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you that your grace is moving us to higher ground. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to write this down. We're in our fourth session on developing strong faith, our developing strong faith series. And kind of reviewing, looking back over my notes, our first session was entitled Choosing Life. And remember, we talked about the fact that God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and that's out of the Old Testament. But that passage is quoted in Romans concerning faith. We have a choice. Everybody say, we have a choice. And so, you know, we make choices, and for the believer, you learn to make choices by faith. A lot of people make choices out of fear. You know, they fear things, and so their choices are kind of motivated by fear, and that's the monkey on their back whispering in their ear, you know, don't do this, don't do that, and watch out for this. We make back choices by faith. Session two, we talked about see it, say it, do it. Last session, which was number three, we talked about faith substance. How'd you like me taking that water and just slinging it out there? For those of you who are here, we talked about faith substance, that faith is a literal substance. Prayer is a substance that God stores up. Write this title down. Tonight, I want to talk about decree and declare. Decree and declare. Isaiah 55, verse 8. The prophet says, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. Now I want you to see it. We've been talking about faith, you know, in the heart and faith in the mouth. And if you remember, we've been talking about two key dimensions that you've really got to get hold of. You've got to be thinking and meditating on what God has said. What has God said? What God has said in the Word and what God says by the Spirit to you. And so I want you to see this where He's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Another way that you could read that, I think, is that my actions... What are the ways? My actions, my doings, what I do is different than what you would do. Notice that the ways proceed from the thoughts. Are you seeing that? There's a hook up there. So what you think, the way we think, determines the way that we go. And we summarize faith this way, see it, say it, do it. Well, the do it is the way that you're going to go. But it all starts by seeing it. What are you seeing on the inside? What are you thinking on the inside? What are you meditating on the inside? And so these principles really are all through the Bible. It's not just a New Testament principle. The principles of faith, which the patriarchs were justified by, were actually resident in the Old Covenant. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Now picture this. Here comes the rain. Here comes moisture in the form of snow. For as the rain comes down from and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but watereth the earth. Watereth the earth and maketh it. Everybody say maketh it. Everybody say maketh it. The point is this, the moisture has an immediate impact on whatever seed is in the ground. That seed has to hook up with moisture. He says, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, circle the phrase my word. Go back to verse 8. God says, my thoughts. Verse 11, my word. You see that? Verse 8, my thoughts. Verse 11, my word. There we go. There's the heart and mouth connection that we've been just hammering on. What are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you meditating on? Somewhere is going to be released out of your mouth. God says, I operate the same way. My thoughts. God's got thoughts. God has ideas. God has plans. God has goals. God said, let there be light, and there was... You see it in the creation account. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I'd like to accomplish things in my life. I'd like to have an eternal effect on my children. I'd like to have an eternal effect on the people that I work with. I'd like to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. Well, if you're going to do that, you got to get hold of your thinking and what you're seeing. You got to get hold of your mouth and what you're saying, and ultimately the direction that your feet go in. So see it, say it, do it. God says, my word that comes out of my mouth, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you. Now, somebody says, well, you know, I have no problem with that because it says God's mouth. It says God's word. Well, let me ask you, where is God's mouth? Put your hand right here on your chin. Everybody say, my mouth is God's mouth. Let's see if people don't understand that. What do you mean they don't understand? How could you say a thing like that? Praise God. How could you say that your mouth is God's mouth? Well, doesn't Romans say, present your bodily members as instruments of righteousness unto God? So my hand should be God's hand. My ear should be God's ear. My mouth should be God's mouth. My eyes should be God's eyes. Jesus in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So when I have yielded myself as a living sacrifice and I'm walking out Romans 6, 7, and 8, walking in the Spirit involves committing my bodily parts and members to God as actually the Greek there is weapons of righteousness. Not just instruments, a weapon. I'm a weapon. I'm a dangerous weapon. Hallelujah. I'm registered in heaven. Amen. Y'all, watch out. Here I come. I'm a weapon. Everybody say I'm a weapon. Well, the truth is you're either a weapon for the devil or a weapon for God. And so, where is God's mouth? God's mouth in that day was Isaiah's mouth. Well, in our day, God's mouth is the believer's mouth. He says, it shall accomplish, it shall prosper. Verse 12, for you. Oh, now we're talking about you. You shall go out with joy. Doesn't say you'll go out with depression. Doesn't say you'll go out with heaviness. We've all been there. And why have we been there? Watch this. Every time I've been depressed or discouraged, it's because I've allowed myself to get my eyes off on circumstances instead of on the Word of God and what the Lord has said to me. I mean, I'm just like Peter sometimes. I'm walking out there. Yeah, I'm a water walker. Here I come. I'm a dangerous weapon. Wow! And all of a sudden, wow, look at these waves. Oh, my God, these waves are big. Oh, the wind is blowing out here. And I'm looking at the boat over there, the safety of the boat, with all the disciples in there waving at me, praying for you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, and I'm going down. I'm going down. Amen. I know y'all probably can't remember the last time y'all were ever discouraged, but some of us can remember. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy. Well, how can I go out with joy? I'm thinking right, I'm speaking right, and I'm letting the Lord establish my way. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And I love this. Look at this. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, here comes Jason. I mean, the hills are just, thank you, hills. Thank you, trees. The trees are waving at me. Go, buddy. Go, buddy. Go, Jason. Go. Go, Jason. Go. J-A-S-O-N. Go, Jason. Go. Amen. Can I just give you, look at verse 12. Can I just give you the kind of the Jason Peebles paraphrase of that deal? Even nature will seem to start working for you. I don't know why anything doesn't work out for me. I mean, I'm telling you, if you get hold of see it, say it, do it, it's like even the forces of nature, the trees, the mountains, start working for you instead of against you. Now, there's been times I have felt like everything was against me. Again, go back. My eyes are on a circumstance. My eyes are on the future. What's going to happen to me? Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. You know, the past, thinking about the past, instead of getting my mind captured. Are we connecting? Verse 12, you shall go out with joy. How many of you want to live that kind of life? How many of you want a life of peace? And underline in verse 12 the word led. You're going to be led. You're not just going out, in your own efforts. You're going out led. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains, the hills shall break forth before you to singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, hallelujah, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. In other words, these are trees good for wood, good for a construction, building things, instead of a thorn. It shall be to the Lord. In other words, you'll give the Lord the glory, not yourself. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we see right here this idea of the see it, say it, do it, getting a hold of God's way of thinking. Go back to verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. Our thoughts lead to our ways. Verse 11, so shall my word. God's word. Everybody say God's word. So I'm going to put God's word in my mouth. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? It is written. It is written. It is written. Now go with me to Mark 11. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. You know, it's interesting around the country. Some of you have heard me say this, but there's different sayings or colloquialisms. And I went up to the New England area some time ago. Now, you know, I'm a southern boy going up into Maine, Bangor, Maine. And so I was in this little fudge shop. You know, I shouldn't have been messing around in there. I knew better, but I was in there anyway, checking out what they had. Wish I could say I was witnessing. I wasn't. I had it in the vision. You know what I'm saying? I was seeing it, saying it. I was about to eat it. All right. So I'm in there, and I'm saying, is that good? Is that good? Is that good? And this lady, she looks over at me, and she goes, it's wicked good. I said, what? She said, it's wicked good. I'd never heard that saying. How many of anybody from the New England area, that little saying, knew it's wicked good? I said, well, you know, you have to pardon me. I'm from Georgia. I said, how can it be both wicked and good? She said, you know, I've never stopped to think about that. That's just what we say up here. Well, in the South, we have little sayings like that, too. Have you ever heard people down here say, well, I declare. But they don't ever tell you what they declare. They just say, well, I declare. You know, they'll say things like, well, I'll be. But they never tell you what they're going to be. Well, I declare. Well, I'll be. How many of you know we need to start declaring what God wants us to be? So we're going to be talking about decree and declare, that your mouth needs to start making the declarations of God. Great day in the morning. You ever heard that deal? Why can't it be a great day today? Why do we have to wait till the morning? Do tell. Well, go ahead and tell it. They never tell you. Do tell. Mark chapter 11, go to verse 12. And on the morrow, verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if he might find anything thereon. Now, technically, it was not the month for the figs, but when you see a fig tree that's leafed out, then normally there are figs on it. So he's thinking, hey, here's a tree that's bearing fruit ahead of the others. If haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now, this is quite an interesting thing. And Jesus answered and said to it. Now, I want you to mark that, because we read over these things so casually. Jesus answered. Everybody say answered. Wait a minute. I don't recall the tree talking to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to it. Now, how would you like to have been with the disciples? See, we got hindsight's 20/20 vision. How would you like to have been with the disciples standing there and Jesus is talking to this fig tree? You could almost see Peter. There he goes again, guys. You know, I mean, it wasn't unusual. He had been standing there talking to dead people. Lazarus, come forth. They'd see him standing in front of the ship talking to the wind, talking to the waves. And now he's talking, Mr. Fig Tree. Hey, Mr. Fig Tree, I've got an answer for you. I mean, what did the fig tree say to him? The fig tree evidently, in his circumstance, was basically declaring to him, you're going to go hungry. I know it's the morning time. This would be a great time for breakfast, but I don't got any figs. And Jesus answers the tree. He says something to it. The Baptist Bible says that. The Methodist Bible says that. And guess what? Your Bible says that. Verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. That tells me that he said it out loud. He didn't just think it. He didn't just ponder it. He said to a tree, no fruit be on you from this point forward. Everybody say, wow. Now, I'm sure the disciples kind of, you know, had a little discussion together. It's like, do you get what he's doing? You know, what do you think, Thomas? Well, I doubt it. I doubt everything, you know. What do you think, Peter? I got it. Peter was famous. You know, I got it. Oh, yeah, I'm right there with him. They were clueless. They had no idea. It's interesting. We won't take the time to read it, but the very next section, he goes into Jerusalem and basically cleans house. No pun intended. Cleans house. And this could be, and I'll put it that way, it could be a foreshadowing that Israel should have been fruitful. Israel should have been fruitful. Israel should have received his ministry. They did not. And it could have all been symbolic that right after that he goes into the fig tree of God and there's no fruit, bunch of leaves. Verse 20, go down to verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, underline this, dried up from the roots. Now, that's unusual because if a tree is diseased, you know, you'll see it evident on the leaves first. But this tree dried up from the roots, by the way, in less than a 24-hour period. The next day they come by. Verse 21, Peter called to remembrance and said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now watch this. Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach about faith. Everybody say faith. And he's putting a special emphasis in this particular passage on what we declare with our mouth. That's why I've entitled this particular message, Decree and Declare. Well, I declare. Okay, what are you going to declare? Well, I'll be. Okay, what are you going to be? The truth is, every one of us go through life decreeing things with our mouth. Well, it's probably not going to work out for me. Well, this is a thorny issue. I mean, we say these things not realizing that we are decreeing, declaring, we are naming the circumstance, and we've left off understanding that what we think about, what we see within our hearts, and what we say with our mouth has power. I said it has power. It has power, by the way, not only over objects like fig trees, your finances, it has power over people. If you ever doubt that, every one of us can remember a time where somebody came into a room and was sharp with us, and instantly, I don't know what was released, but some kind of chemical was released within us that hurt us, took your appetite away, caused you to feel nauseated, maybe caused you to be angry, want to rise up and strike back. Words have power. He says in verse 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Or one version says, have the faith of God. Another one says, have the God kind of faith. How many of you want to know how God uses faith? He does use faith. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you. Now I want you to mark this, that whosoever shall what? Well, half of you got it. That whosoever shall what?
Say
unto this mountain. And he's, at this point, he's throwing his hand towards the Mount of Olives. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his what? Now, we've been talking about see it, say it, do it. Isaiah said thinking, the word of God in our mouth. I want you to mark this if you don't have it marked in verse 23. Circle the word say. There's the mouth. Now circle the word in his heart. There's the heart. There's the heart and mouth connection. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. There it is again. Mark it again. Second time. Which he saith shall come to pass. Notice it doesn't say believe that those things which he thinketh. It doesn't say believe those things which he thinketh. You've got to go beyond thinking to saying. And then somewhere along the line, you've got to go beyond saying to some action, doing something, taking a step of faith. You believe in God for a job? Uh-huh. Have you done anything about it? Well, I'm just a believing God. Well, why don't you believe God? Why you go fill out some applications? And I asked Pam, that's one of the first things I said. I said, you know, have you filled out any applications? You looking for a job? She said, well, I've got some relatives down in Savannah that they're putting out some feelers for me. I said, well, pursue that because faith involves action. Now, Angela's believing God for a horse. Well, here comes the horse tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? And she's got most of it paid for, and she's out there in faith believing God. Well, we're just believing it's going to be met. Amen? See, a lot of people, they're dreamers. They can dream. A lot of people are dreamers, and we've all met people that have these wonderful, grandiose ideas, and they're always talking about this great thing, this great thing, this great thing, but they're very short on any doing. And those people can at times actually be a bad testimony for the kingdom of God. Now, we've all missed it at times. But some people have a lifestyle of always announcing the next thing, and they don't ever do anything. He says, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he what? Saith. Which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, hello, in verse 23, how many times can you count the word say or saith or some variant thereof? Look at it. Count it. Verse 23. Whosoever shall say, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have three times in one verse. Now, what? Huh? Four times? Do I hear five? Five. One, five, 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 six. It may depend on the version that you're reading there. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you what? Verse 24. I'm in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye what? Ask, desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. We're in verse 24, by the way. What things soever you desire? Desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Everybody say desire.
Desire.
I mean, you got to want it. You got to want it. And this is where a lot of people, they really can't get hold of faith because they think, well, you know, if God wants me to have it, God knows where I live, and Lord knows if it comes my way, I guess I'll receive it. And you start talking about desire, it's like, you know, oh, we're in church, we can't talk about things we want or desire. You lying hypocrites, you go down here to the mall, you know, and you don't walk up and down the mall going, if the Lord wants me to receive something, it will just jump out of the shop and grab me. You walk through the mall. Don't look at me so holy, you ladies. I know you ladies go down that mall and you desire things. You probably pray in tongues and interpret it comes out, charge it, Visa, MasterCard, hallelujah. I was with a pastor, I don't know, a couple years ago now, and we're going down the road just talking about stuff, you know, and I mean, we're in his truck. And he hit the brakes so hard, it locked up the shoulder harness across. I'm like, and I'm just waiting for the airbag to deploy, you know. And I'm like, what happened? You know, did a child run out in the road or what? I mean, he burned rubber just hitting the brakes and just screeching to halt. He said, did you see that bass boat back there? I'm like, you know, I've got Toyota, you know, printed across my. I'm like, you know, man, I'm branded for life, you know, because you hit the brakes so hard. A bass boat. He puts it in reverse. What? You know, and comes in the. And now, everybody's got their own desires, you know. A bass boat. I mean, I like fishing, you know, a couple times a year, but I'm not going to buy a bass boat. This guy, he had to have a bass boat. So if you're the guest speaker and the pastor wants to look at bass boats, guess what you do? You look at bass boats.
And so 30, 40 minutes, I'm sitting there and he's like, ooh, look, this is a special propeller. It's got four blades and it's, you know, got all synchronization or something. I'm like, yeah, that's a propeller. And it probably goes round and round, you know. And then we're looking at this, you know, ooh, look at this. This seat, you know, what adjusts, multi-adjustments. I got to have that if you're going to have a bass boat. Amen. You want to be uncomfortable when you catch them deals. Amen. Everybody say he had it in the vision. Now, see, a lot of people, they get too spiritual for their own good. And you got to understand, I want you to write this down, that faith and desire go together. In fact, I'm going to make another statement. If you don't desire it, you can't have faith. I'm going to say it again. If you don't desire it, you cannot have faith. Now, there's some things the Lord's worked in my heart that initially I didn't desire. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things the Lord worked in my heart that I did not initially desire. In other words, He came and said, you know, that relationship's not right. You don't need to be in that relationship. I'm thinking about when I was a teenager, you know. And I was a Christian. And the Lord put His finger on something. Well, when He came with that, I certainly didn't desire to obey God. Because that sweet thing, you know, I mean, we've been going together for so long and I couldn't see beyond. I'll never date again. Hallelujah. You know, that whole deal. I couldn't see down the road. But you know what? The Lord has a way of working His desire in your heart. And so often, the desire may not start out as a desire, but there's our desires of the Spirit and there's desires of the flesh. And so what you have to do is you have to begin to distinguish, you know, is this a desire of the Spirit or is this a desire of the flesh? Or is in the category where God says, I don't really care. If you want it, I'll bless you. Amen. Amen. Now, here I was an evangelist. There are some evangelists that would not dare get in a small airplane. In fact, Norval Hayes said, the Lord told me to stay away from airplanes. I mean, that guy will drive to California to have a meeting. You ain't going to catch me driving to California to have a meeting. I'm getting on the big bird, and there I'm going. Amen. Well, I had a desire. Everybody say desire. I had a desire after the van had 250,000 miles on the second engine. I said, I have a desire to get there quicker. And I went to God about it. Now, I don't believe God's will is for everybody to have an airplane. Not every minister even. But the Lord said, you know, I really don't care. If that's your desire, I'll honor it and I'll bless it. I had a desire, and because I had a desire, my faith could rise up to that occasion. Amen. And people that don't desire cannot have faith. This is true even with salvation. You can bring somebody to the altar. You can beat them over the head with the Bible. They can know exact. I know what you're talking about. I know I'll go to hell if I don't accept Jesus. I know it all. But until they desire to change their life and cast their lot upon the Lord, they cannot have faith for salvation. It takes desire. Everybody say desire. Amen. Go back to verse 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith. I want to ask you something. Have you been listening lately to what you're saying? You need to listen. Take an inventory of what are you saying about your future. Well, it'll never work out. Well, I might not ever get out of Atlanta. Oh, yes, you will. If that's your desire, go back to be with you. It'll happen. God will bless you. Desire it. Start saying it. Start seeing it. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, ask, when you pray, believe that you received them. That's the Greek. Received. Past tense. Right then. And you shall have them. Well, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. No, you got to see it and receive it. Then you'll see it. Did you get that? I said, you got to see it and believe that you've received it then, because faith says, it's mine, I have it now. Faith says it's what? It's mine. I have it now. Go with me to Job 22. Can any good thing come out of Job? Oh, yes. Had one guy, he thought he found a book of jobs, you know? Looking for the right job. Oh, glory. A book telling me where to go. Job 22.
Now, sometime I'm going to teach on the entire book of Job. It's quite an interesting book. And when you read Job, Job is the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Just like Ecclesiastes is the Word of God. Now, hear me very diligently here. You're going to go out and misquote me, and the Holy Ghost will get you if you misquote me now. He'll come over and spank you. Oh, pastor said this. I cannot believe he said, I didn't say that. Amen. Job is the Word of God, but not everything in Job do you need to be claiming. I mean, the story about David and Bathsheba is the Word of God, but you don't need to be claiming such. And Ecclesiastes really throws people for a loop, because all through there, the guy's saying, vanity of vanities, everything's vanity. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, and all this stuff. Well, my Bible says eat, drink, and be merry, so I'm headed to Hooters. You know, and there they go. People are that silly. No, that is the Word of God, but you know what? You got to understand, Ecclesiastes was written when Solomon was in a backslidden state. And when you are in a backslidden state, everything does seem like vanity. I don't know if you realize that. You think back in your life, every time that you're far away from God, it just seems like nothing makes sense, nothing's for real. And God gave us that book to warn us about the way a backslidden person thinks. But in Ecclesiastes, in Job, in these stories, there are these wonderful passages that are eternal truths that we can claim. And here's one of them. Job 22, go to verse 21. And by the way, let me throw this out at you. You say, how do I know if I should claim it or not? Who really knows? What you do is you compare that passage to what the New Testament says. And if the New Testament verifies it, then you run with it. See that? And so Scripture interprets Scripture. Verse 21, he says, acquaint now thyself with him, referring to God. Job says, acquaint now, or the person counseling him, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. All right, let's just stop right there. Is that verified out in the New Testament? If we get to know God, will there be peace? I can claim that then. Thereby good shall come to thee. Do you believe God wants to bless you and be good to you if you press in to know Him? Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words where? Well, that's, of course, Bible all through and through. That's good counsel. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Or one version says you will have the strength of silver. In other words, when you return to God and get right with God, a number of things are going to happen to you. First of all, peace is going to come to you. Then God will bless you and provision will come your way. God, if you're in a horrible pit, God will begin to lift you out. You'll understand seed time and harvest. You'll be on your way out. No, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. But when I turn to God, God promises to begin to turn my life. Look at verse 26. For then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. I want you to circle the phrase delight in the Almighty. That's so important. You know, you get your perspective right. I'm not delighting in the airplane. I mean, I like the airplane, but I don't love the airplane. I love God. The pastor that got his bass boat, he likes his bass boat because that could be a recreational expression for him, but he's going to delight and love the Lord. And we get in trouble when we flip things around. Verse 27. Now here's where we're going. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Put a star by verse 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Now, honey, that's faith. That is faith. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. Now, let me tell you, when you are in tune with God, and there's a big qualifier, if you are in tune with God, your words literally become the words of God. Some of you just went cross-eyed. Jesus put it this way, if you abide in me, if, everybody say if. If you abide in me, there's that vital relationship. Acquaint now thyself with him, just like this passage says. Delight in the Almighty. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You'll command what you will. You'll decree what you will. You'll declare what you will. How, bless God, how can you say that? Back it up. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll be desiring, declaring, decreeing what God wants. I tell you, Saturday's meeting with the men greatly, greatly encouraged me, and I'm telling you, my faith ticker's ticking again. And, you know, that building next door, I'm convinced that is the will of God. I didn't even think about getting extra property when we got into this space. And when it first crossed my brain, I thought, man, you know, that seems so beyond what a new church could do. It almost seems dangerous, if you want to know the truth. It seems dangerous. But the more the Lord worked with me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. My will began to line up with His will. And so you stand and you decree, you declare, you prophesy. Say it how you want to say it. You begin to release what God has put in your heart, comes out of your mouth, and then you begin to move towards it. And God says, I'm paraphrasing, will do a miracle. I will bless you. Look at that verse again. What verse did I tell you to put a star by? Somebody help me preach. What verse was it? Thou shalt also decree a thing. Thou shalt also decree a thing. And it shall be removed from you. Is that what your Bible says? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that okay? Misread that. It shall be established unto thee. I want everybody to put your hand right here on your chest. Everybody say this out loud. I receive the Word of God. I speak the Word of God. Therefore, my proclamations, my declarations, my decrees have power and substance. Amen. It shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon thy ways. That's divine guidance. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say. You'll do what? You'll do what? You'll say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Think about that. When somebody is down on their back. Can I just say it like the world would say it without worrying about what y'all think? They're down on their luck. We don't believe in luck, but that's the way the world talks. I'm down on my luck. I'm flat on my back. Nothing seems to be working out. Then you will come along full of God and full of faith and say, there is a lifting up. What does that mean? God can bring you up out of your circumstance. God can deliver you from drugs. God can put that marriage back together. All right, your spouse ran off and married somebody else. There's no hope. God can turn your life around. There is a reason for you to live. Don't let that thing live your future for you. You begin to follow God. He'll light your way. There is a lifting up. You begin to give them hope. There is the ability and provision of God that can go to work for you. Amen? Now, you don't say things like that unless you're full of faith. When you're not full of faith, you say, oh, my. I declare. Do tell. They ran off and left them. Do tell. And I mean, you just get in there and you chime in with the devil and you don't say there's a lifting up. You just basically say there's no hope. That's the way the world does it. Get on the gossip line. Instead of Jesus on the main line, they're on the gossip line. Verse 30. Well, let's read the rest of that. He shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thy hands. Everybody say, wow. Everybody say, wow. Now go back to verse 21. What's it all based on? You got to know God. We're not talking about, you know, a jackpot arm in Las Vegas you pull. We're talking about somebody who's walking with God. Just like Jesus said, if you abide in me, you walk with me, you're living in contact with me. No, I'm not saying you got to be perfect, because there's no one perfect. But you're pressing into God, you're living with God. When He shows you sin, you bring it into the light. Acquaint, look at verse 21, acquaint now thyself with Him. Be at peace, and good shall come unto me. You know what? That's an awesome passage in Job right there. You need to mark that in your Bible. You need to be claiming that in your Bible. Quickly, go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a place of authority that very few Christians really understand. May I say that again? There's a place of authority in the Spirit that very few Christians understand. And the ones who understand it and walk in it, the other Christians so often think, well, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? Romans 4, go to verse 17. Talking about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Let me just pause there and ask, many of you know this by heart, some of you may not, but when God said to Abram, I have made you a father of many nations, had the child of promise been born yet? Everybody say no. I mean, that just seemed totally unreachable to the man in the natural. Verse 20, or verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, underline this if it's not marked in your Bible, verse 17, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Everybody say, my God calls things that are not yet as though they were. Now that's the way God works. Now if that's the way God works, how should we work? Father, I just call that house that you've put in my heart. It's time for our family to have a house. I call that house. House! Hey, house! My brother, that just seems kind of bizarre. It's one notch above talking to fig trees. Amen. Because the houses are made of them trees that they cut up. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, that just seems weird. You know, we don't think it's weird when you hear your neighbor out on the back porch. Kitty, 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 kitty. You don't go out and go, ooh, that's weird. I got a cat caller next door. You don't call the police. I'd like to report my neighbor. Yes, ma'am, what's the problem there? They're calling a cat. Excuse me? Every day they call their cat. Hello? Hello? The police have just hung up on you. That's not weird. Everybody say that's not weird. Now, when you sit there and go, kitty, 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 and if Johnny comes up, go, you call? Then that's weird. If you call the cat, what do you expect to get? Now, come on, you know, we understand this in the natural, but we get over in the Spirit and we just get lost. What are you calling? Well, it's not going to work out for me, but you're expecting miracles. Well, I'll never own a home. Nobody in my family ever owned a home. I'll just, you know, live like a nomad and probably have to always rent for the rest of my life. That's what's probably going to happen to me. Why? Miracles aren't coming. You call the cat, you're going to get the cat. You call Johnny, you should get Johnny. If you call Johnny and the cat comes, you got a weird cat. Get you a new cat. Amen. So I want to ask you, what are you calling? What are you calling in your life? You say, well, I'm not sure. Listen to what you say. Look at what you're seeing on the inside. Look at what you're imagining, if we could put it to you that way. So, God, verse 17, calls those things which be not as though they were. It gets back to Abram now, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become. Everybody say, I'm a becomer. I didn't say a beginner. I said a becomer. What are you becoming? I'm becoming a homeowner. If that's what you're believing for. I'm becoming a horse owner. I'm becoming a double wide church owner. How did it be? I'm becoming married to a man of God. Can I hear an amen? The women, man, you just went. What are you saying? Well, he's going to bust hell wide open. I'm telling you what, my husband will be the front of the line. Well, you know, my son just got to go out and sow his wild oats. Better watch what you say. Be talking like that. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become... Look at verse 18. The father of many nations according to that which was... Who spoke it? I said, who spoke it? Well, who heard it? Well, once you hear it, you got to believe it and repeat it. Verse 19, and be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. I never cease to be amazed at that. I mean, we read right over that. Can you imagine Abram and Sarah looking at each other at 100? God told you what? And there's more to the miracle than the meets the eye. Well, we got to believe for divine protection. We're about 100. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He could have looked over at the old woman and just gone, staggered. My God, can't look at my wife. I'll stagger. She goes, yeah, well, go look in the mirror. I can't look at you either. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Underline this, circle it. Here's the theme of our entire series. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You want to have strong faith? You got to start decreeing and declaring. What am I going to decree and declare? What God has said about it, not what you or your aunt or your best friend Bubba down at the shop thinks about it. You got to start declaring what God says about it. Powerful thing. Decreeing and declaring. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's spend a couple minutes declaring some stuff in the Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to slip back, but before we even sing, I want you to lift your hands to God and start declaring with your mouth some things that you have been believing for, and I want you to add the thanksgiving, the element of thanksgiving to it. That helps my declaration so much. Instead of, we're not begging God, thank you, Lord. That property is paid for, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me that job in Savannah, Pam. Thank you, Lord, this or that. Come on, lift your hands. I want to hear some noise in here. No silent declaration. Start whispering. Just start uttering. Start muttering some things that you're thanking God for and turn it into a declaration of thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Come on, thank God for what you have need of and thank God for the desires of your heart that the Lord has put within you. In the name of the Lord. 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 Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Father, we just whisper these declarations. We whisper these proclamations. We whisper these thanksgiving unto You, and we thank You that they are ascending now as faith substance, and we thank You for the Word accomplishing what it was sent for. In Jesus' name.